Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful, poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Once again, my friends, welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting. As an unexpected surprise, we're going to talk about the ineffable today. I know that many of you tuning in probably didn't expect this, but that's how it is around here. We like to do the unexpected. So you, like Mayakovsky, should expect the unexpected. As per the usual, we are in the Saucer Pod, and tonight we're taking a page from the film Being John Malkovich, or maybe it's more like Fantastic Voyage. We're reduced in size ourselves because we're in a reduced size a saucer pod, and we're traveling through the mind of George Soros. It is some kind of Boeschian nightmare, but it doesn't worry us much, as the saucer is impermeable and invulnerable to negative forces. So even though we are in one of the darkest, most evil landscapes around, it's only like watching a movie. A horror movie, to be sure, but a movie nonetheless. This is the first time I've done this sort of thing, so I was surprised at what one encounters in the different sections of a mind. I came across neocons Victoria Nuland and Robert Kagan in a video loop doing horrific things to children and small animals, and this was wired into Soros's libido, which has a humanized avatar visage, something like Genghis Khan on PCP. I'm guessing humanized is not an effective word, since I mean it only in terms of form. Never mind, I'm getting out of here. After this, the cloaca maxima of the New York sewer system will look like the Elysian Fields. Well, for whatever the reason, we have to enter into these things by strange routes. Don't ask me why. This is just how it happens. I've been reading a lot about the satanic lifestyles and spiritual involution of a lot of the high-profile rock stars, Stones, Led Zeppelin, Bowie, and others. There's a lot of detail to it that I was unaware of. What struck me most, though, was the body of people out there who not only believe everything that gets said, no matter how unverifiable or insanely out of control, but who exaggerate further on what they have seen and read and make things up out of whole cloth. Like the constant insistence that Bob Dylan admits he sold his soul to the devil on a 60 Minutes interview, which he didn't do. I've seen the video, and there's no mention of the devil. He could just as well have been talking about God. As I've said other places, I don't know if he sold his soul to the devil or not, but at least I don't know, which to me is preferable to reshaping everything to fit a designed premise. There's quite a number of these obsessed people out there who hang out at Godlike Productions and other government-controlled websites and insist that this and that is true, but have no evidence whatsoever. Like I said, maybe it's all so, but I don't take these kinds of things on faith, and I don't have that much interest in whether rock stars are Satanists or not. My only concern is that I'm not. I readily accept that there are people who have made contact with the Prince of Darkness, or made contracts, rather. That seems logical and believable to me. If you can have a relationship with the Almighty, I believe And as I believe I do, then I also believe you can have a relationship with the alter ego in the mix. You have to want the things of the world pretty bad to go in that direction. I'm just not that enamored. I only want to get out of here, not deeper into it. To me, so many lifetimes seem like a bad dream that I don't want to have. I ran as fast as I could through some of them. You do that on your way through. Otherwise, you get bogged down in any one of them for longer than would be considered pleasant by anyone who wasn't unconscious by that time. The world puts you to sleep. It's a great big smoke-blowing hypnosis machine. The one thing you will hear about in your mind when you are older and later on in places now invisible, just as this world will be invisible when you get to that other world, well, that is, what did you do with your life? You might even be asked, who are you? You have to answer for yourself, even if it is only to yourself. So what could possibly be more important in life than to find out who you are and what that means in terms of what you do and say? Maybe you are what you do and say. Even when what you do and say is wrong, according to the general consensus, that is still you in the particular role, and every role has a conclusion based on the nature of the role. We usually play more than one role in this life, unless we are a dullard or some other kind of stationary and unchanging being. If you're not one of these exceptions, you go through changes that remake you according to your experiences and how you react to them. Regardless of how one might see life as a constant grind or regimented march into the dark unknown, life is always in flux and change is a constant. We play these roles for security and stability of being, play them for material profit, play them for the purpose of deception, or because they are the result of all we have learned up to that point. Sometimes our roles become outworn because they no longer express us as we have come to be. Ultimately, if our direction and intention are of the right order, we move beyond the restrictions of the sort of roles we encounter in ordinary life, and then on into the realm of archetypes. We move into more timeless expressions. Our inner ear can open up in concert with the secret chambers of the heart, and we begin to hear the whispers of eternity. We begin to resonate with the celestial vibrations, and we more and more become aligned with the cosmic will that sings through these vibrations. There's a sort of Islamic spin-off called Subud, and it has a feature called the sound current. Although the one who discovered or was gifted with it was a Muslim, the Subud organization is non-denominational and expresses itself in relation to each individual differently. You can find out all about it on the internet if you want. I'm not a member, but I'm not a member of anything manifest and don't seek to be. The sound current is apparently some kind of high-level vibration that one can come into communion with. As I said, I'm not a member. But what they say is spot on with what I believe. Statements like, one must employ complete submission, trust, and sincerity toward the Almighty God. They say that Subud can be described as the reality behind all religions or the life within a life. They also say Subud is not a religion but a spiritual practice for all. People are encouraged to stay in their current religion when joining Subud. They further state that you can get there by emptying our minds. We surrender and receive the Spirit of God. It's a practice which allows us to follow God's will in thought, word, and action. Unquote. All these things are totally consistent with what I am able to intuitively grasp about it all. The leader tells us we do not do anything but allow everything to happen. Usually sounds and movements arise from within. These are all statements that mirror my own thoughts and are also backed up by certain experiences I have had. As I said, I don't belong to anything but the self within. We're just mentioning this to let you know that there are all kinds of options for the seeking soul. There's something for everyone on this glorious road of self-discovery. I call it that because we are the thing we seek, however we might imagine it to be. We often pray using terms like, O Father in heaven. Well, if that is our Father, what does that make us? It makes us the children of our Father in heaven. We are the same as that of which we are made by. It is only in our perception of it that we differ. How the Almighty sees us and how we see ourselves is vastly different, and that is something we need to change. Our perspective changes progressively as we come more and more into the consciousness of our author. We become illuminated in stages to the extent of our capacity. We are not all the same in this regard. Only the mindlessly politically correct believe such a thing. And I'm not speaking of any one of us being better than another. We are simply different. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would not have told you so. I do not want to give the impression that I know what is going on. I never want to do that. I fully and completely maintain that I do not know. But I am told things, and the things I am told I pass on. And that is why I ask the listener and the reader to take what is useful and disregard the rest. What I write and what I speak comes to me. I have no guarantee that any of it is true. It feels as if it is true. And I admit that it might be only relatively true, but that is still a form of truth. And by virtue of that, it is connected to yet higher and higher truths, I suspect. As I have said, I don't know. There's a brilliant white light, and it passes through a prism into the manifest. Out of this come seven rays, and each of us is on one of them. These rays are different from one another, and each of them has qualities distinctive to the ray. This is why there are different religions, and all the many differences that there are. Do we switch rays to the purpose of experience? This I do not know. What I do know is that we travel upon these rays while in the manifest, and also on more subtle planes, and eventually we come back to the prism, and we pass on into the indefinable light. Are we then all the same as everyone else? Is everyone else the same? I seriously doubt this. I think we keep our uniqueness forever. I believe we seldom understand what our divine uniqueness is, but the Almighty does. The Almighty knows. Though God may love us equally, we have different meaning to the Almighty. I am a friend of the divine. This I have been told. There are many relationships one might cultivate with the Almighty. This is the one I prefer, and this is the one I have been led to. One is permitted to see the Almighty in whatever manner they choose. They can see the divine as father, or mother, brother, or sister, even as a child, like the baby Jesus or little Bru Krishna. It is more than a coincidence that these two names bear such a similarity in sound. Christ, Krishna. One thing I am sure of, inasmuch as I can be sure of anything, is that there is only one God with many faces, and the faces of God are what was appropriate to the time of its appearance. All the scriptures exist for the travelers of the different rays. The various types of yoga and other spiritual disciplines are adapted for the benefit of those on the rays to which they apply. One should never imagine that regardless of how illuminated they become, by contrast with the general darkness of the common mind, that one is in a position to be loved by one and all, understood by one and all. This isn't going to happen. The story of Jesus Christ, however incomplete it may be in the text given to us here, stands as an example of this. As Paul said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I'm sure dividing is not the word. He said dividing. It's written in the Bible. It should be divining, right? I would think it was the latter, but that is how it goes in these times. They like to write things wrong. In any case, what I get is that one seeks to prepare themselves to be approved by the Almighty, not by the men and women of sensation that presently populate this material plane in this time of immense material darkness. For myself, because I do not know the way except for what I understand about love being the guide and the direction, I choose to follow one who has gone before. Whether it's by fortune or karma or due diligence, I met such a one to follow. Whether I've consistently adhered to the footsteps I follow is not something I would claim, because I've gone off the rails and off track more than once. That is not the main concern. The main concern is whether one has gotten back on the path again and again and again. It's like that song by Smash Mouth. I get knocked down, but I get back up again. Yeah, that's what you do. This is what you must do. And if this is what you do again and again, then you are sincere, and all the forces of good will fly to your side. I'll be the first to admit that I have made rash decisions in the face of extremity, and also when confronted with playing a role that I did not feel competent to fulfill. This is how it is for any number of us who are works in progress. Should we succeed, then all our little failures will be nothing more than teaching moments for those who follow. They will be no longer be failures, but simply a part of the stained glass mosaic legacy of one's passage. Anyone who needs a graphic example of how far out it can get needs to read The Tale of Milarepa. You cannot assess the meaning of it all by trying to sort it out within the parameters of the general consensus on good and evil. You cannot get the meaning of it by seeking it in the common parlance of contemporary morality. It is not to be gauged with cultural or social mores. It is beyond all of that. And this is why, for myself, love and surrender are the guides. My friends, it is beyond the grasp of the intelligence. It is beyond the grasp of the mind. All the mind can do is restrict it into some identifiable form. It is past all comprehension. only the heart can approach an understanding of it, and that can only be communicated in silence. I consider it the beginning of wisdom to recognize that it is always beyond you, and also that the journey you are on will never end. All right, my friends. We've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, have faith. None of us knows the hour of the coming of the Lord, but come he shall. We are in the time of the Avatar, and even if that spans more than the reach of any individual life, we are in the range of its influence right now. And it is up to us whether this is the influence we choose or whether some other compelling attraction has got our attention. Stay vigilant and let your heart swell with the indwelling presence of the Almighty, who is coming down to us even as I speak these words. That said, much love, Lady Nature. Allah Akbar. Om Amitabha. Greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesh. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. Aloha and Haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.